Hello, geek romantics, both online and off, and welcome to episode 148 of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast, where we're looking for love in all the right, I guess, places? To be determined. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Cam.
And as you might have gleaned from that somewhat halting and perhaps a little too hastily contrived introduction, tonight we will be talking about romance in the geek age. A very cool topic that we will credit Chris with coming up with, and we'll put all the pressure on him to make this a great episode. But first, we know you'll find what we've been up to this past week irresistibly endearing, and so we'll kick things off with our weekly geekly update. And as putting Chris on the spot, I'm hoping will become something of a theme this episode. We'll make you go first, Chris. What you been up to?
Oh, so that's the sub theme, putting me on the spot.
Yeah. Your topic. You're on the hot seat, man.
Well, unfortunately, when it comes to the geekly weekly, I was a little on the real life side. I did get to work on my writer's workshop. It's coming up this Sunday, critiquing my fellow workshop mate stuff. And then, of course, on a Sunday, they'll give me kind of what they thought of my thing. I also got tempted into looking back into a certain role-playing game, Savage Worlds. That's definitely not going to get anyone here excited in a romantic way. And it's something I keep coming back to. It's a nice system. It works whether with miniatures, without miniatures. It's a little faster than a lot of role-playing games out there. And it's very universal. It's very adaptable. So if you know your parameters, Savage Worlds can fit a lot of different things. I'll see if something comes up from that a little later. And that's it for my Geekly Weekly.
Okay, Cam, why don't you go next, man?
Pretty tame week. Tabletop Gaming at the Adventure Game Store, our sponsor and headquarters. Did some gaming Sunday night at the Falcon Pub, which is also sponsored by the Adventure Game Store and our buddy Vaughn. Let's see, on Saturday, I went to see Chappie. Don't want to put any spoilers out there, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else did I do? That's it. That was pretty geeky. I've been doing a lot of video gaming, playing some older games and playing through games that I've played before. And I'm actually looking for a new game to start on my Xbox One. So I'll be looking to you guys for suggestions.
Buy a PlayStation 4.
Brian's bias is showing through slightly.
I'm making a joke. I would really recommend playing the Xbox 360, quite honestly.
That's mainly what I've been doing. And then I'm looking for a decent Xbox One game to buy since I'm stuck with that second tier console.
Yeah, the next gen has been a disappointment, I don't mind admitting.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Anything else? We'll come back to some suggestions maybe post-show. Or maybe we'll do a Cam shopping list episode next week.
No, that's about it. I had a pretty tame week.
Okay. Brian, it sounds like two tame weeks in a row. Surely yours was wild and exciting.
Not wild nor exciting. The lowlight of my week. And I'm doing this now instead of in news because it did affect me. And I kind of wanted to comment on why I think it affected me. Terry Pratchett passed away.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a realization much more than any actors or even than Nimoy, who I kind of like admired. The world builders affect me a lot. The people whose worlds I've spent time in. Terry Pratchett and Douglas Adams were huge losses to me.
Interesting. And I guess world builders is a pretty good way to put it, and maybe not the way we think of creators like that, but yeah, that's what they are at the end of the day.
Dude, Discworld died. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah.
And partially because of that, I really wanted to spend time in another world for like homage sake. So I picked up, Cam, you might try this, Skyrim.
Okay.
I mean, I played it, you know, whatever, a long time ago when it was brand new and everything, and I still hate it just as much. That game sucks.
Skyrim?
Yeah, no, I mean, I played through Skyrim years ago, but...
Wait, the Elder Scrolls Skyrim game?
Yeah.
You hate it, really?
It drives me fucking nuts. Ah. It drives me nuts. I killed two dragons and a giant all at the same time, and a fucking bear ate me.
That is one badass bear.
Was the bear wearing Daedric armor?
Archmages. I mean, I can kill entire towns if the chicken happens to see me stealing something. But a bear or like a lion, tiger, cougar, any kind of the great cats, they just fuck my day up. And that's like a huge flaw. That's a really big flaw in that game to me.
You sure your armor doesn't have, you know, something like Bane of Feline on it or something?
You know, Brian, I love Skyrim, and I will say that I fear to go, like, in the mountains and stuff where those big cats prowl because, yeah, I found them disconcertingly tough for some reason. Like, I fear dragons less in that game. I agree.
I've always been a big, not necessarily music person, but an aural person. I listen to my surroundings and everything, and I'm so excited when you hear that dragon roar off in the distance, and I look at my mini map, and I, oh, where is it, where is it, where is it? I freeze up when I hear the bear roar. Like, it is terrifying. And then I just, like, reset. Like, oh, forget it, I'm dead. I'm not even going to let him find me, I'm just going to load a game.
That sucks.
Hey, little back on the topic. I did notice a trend on a lot of people commenting about Pratchett. A lot of them said, you know, I didn't read as much of him as I should have, but what I found was always funny and had a depth of humanity and the human nature to it. And I should go read some more.
Oh, I highly recommend reading more of him to anyone.
Then when you're done with that, Chris, follow it up with some Skyrim.
And, you know, I never played much Skyrim, so I can't really add to that conversation.
Well, read first, play later. There you go. Brian Brian comes to us with a solid life recommendation this week. Anything else, Brian?
That's it.
Okay. Over to me. I will go in order of... I'd better go in reverse order of excitement, because my order of excitement is definitely opposite of other people's. Now, you know what? I'll go in order of my excitement, and then you'll agree with me. Okay, first of all, I went to Disney World and participated in Dapper Day, how was it or what was it?
How was that? I knew you were there, and I was very jealous that you got to go.
Oh, well, thanks for being jealous, and thanks for knowing that I was there. It was pretty cool. There were probably some of the usual suspects that would show up in any sort of a dapper thing, but really it was a lot of people dressed up in nice clothes, many of which were thankfully somewhat vaguely Disney-themed. In my case, I was a little too vaguely dressed for most people to recognize. I had on the colors of Figment, the Epcot dragon, and was recognized by three people the entire time I was there. But those moments of recognition were really special because the people were like, oh, Figment! It was awesome. Probably the best was a little girl grabbing her mom, but like jerking her mom's arm back and going, Figment, Figment, he's Figment! So that was awesome. And always a good time at Disney. It was just a good weekend overall. The Flower and Garden Festival is going on as well, so there's all these cool topiaries and special food booths and everything. And while Dapper Day is not an official Disney event, it's one of those events where like the community is putting it on, and they're recognizing it, and the cast members are appreciative and very cool, to the point where when we were walking through the Emporium, one of the cast members came running up with free buttons for us that she had customized with Happy Dapper Day with an exclamation point with the Mickey ears. So that was pretty cool.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, thanks.
How was the weather?
We're getting out of what for me is prime Disney World time. I believe we got a high of 88 degrees one of the days we were there, which is way too sweltering for me to endure, especially when dressed up. So
that was my concern, is I bet a lot of people had a lot of layers on, and I was wondering how warm it was.
It was quite warm. I think Dapper Day should probably take place in like January or February, if it was up to me. And it's also making me really question whether or not I'm going to do Star Wars weekends this year, because if it's already that hot in March, May is going to be insane. So let's see, there's that. And then stepping up in excitement, and this is where I'm going to differ from the entire world, I suspect, I got my Neato robot vacuum, and nice. It did not kill me. Our guest last week, Allison, shared with us some horrible news about a robot vacuum trying to kill somebody. Mine has not attempted to murder me, which so I'm happy to report that. Always excited to bring a new gizmo home, and watched excitedly as this thing vacuumed my floor. As just utterly pedestrian as that sounds, I loved it. And finally, and this has been the most exciting item for me, I serve on the board of directors in my condominium. Let me preload it by saying that to really get the excitement level up. And I was able to convince the board to let me explore options for accommodating electric vehicles in our condo complex, because I want to get like a Chevy Volt or a Nissan Leaf or something. And I think it would be kind of cool if our condo gained a reputation as sort of a green friendly community. So we would accommodate electric vehicles and all that sort of thing. So
with like charging stations or like,
exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Not to issue us vehicles necessarily. Right.
Right.
Way, way cooler. I don't think we could get a special assessment to give me a car, but, so, you know, start off with a pilot of maybe one charging station, and then as interest grows, add more and more and more. And I'm kind of enjoying doing the preliminary research into that. A little techie, a little fun. And I think I promised the descending levels of excitement. And with that, I delivered and conclude my update.
Tom, I wanted to ask about your Nito. I mean, how does it compare to the... You had the Roomba before, right? How does it... I mean, does it live up to expectations, or is it?
It does. I've had two Roombas. I had like an early gen one that died on me, and then I got a second one that died because I left it plugged in for months and never ran it because I had my house like turned into a studio to do a web show, as Brian will recall. And by the time I started it up again, it will not charge its own battery. So it's non-functional. I still have it. I may explore fixing it, but regardless of that, this Nito is way cooler. It seems to use better sensing technology, whereas the Roomba kind of depended on just bumping into obstacles. The Nito perceives them and does not bump into them most of the time, and is pretty graceful when it comes to navigating table and chair legs and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I'm impressed. I'm impressed with it.
Interesting.
Our robotic overlords, I welcome you.
Yeah. Yes.
I would have had one a long time ago, but my dog would probably rip it to shreds. Unfortunately.
They make pet models, which are pet in that they, I think, are good at picking up hair, but not that they're not good at soothing your animal. No.
No, I mean, like, it would need, like, plates of armor, because my dog would probably destroy it.
Right. They don't make a model that establishes itself as the alpha animal in the pack, no.
You know, actually, I guess I'm a real geek. I kind of want to see what your final research is on that electric car thing.
Oh, awesome, man. I will be happy to share it. So that gives me even more motivation to bore our audience to tears with talks of electric vehicles and the various methods of charging them.
And don't forget HOAs.
Yeah, not to mention the different ways a homeowners association can raise funds and generate revenue from allowing substations to be used, not just by residents, but maybe members of the public at large. There's so many possibilities. It's utterly exciting. The best of both worlds, HOA happenings and EVs, man.
I don't know. Geeks are getting older. Some people might actually be curious. You never know.
Yeah. I'm saying that kind of half sarcastically, but you know, I think our audience might actually be into it. So I will report back. And that is definitely the end of my update, which brings us, of course, to the news extravaganza. And I don't see any reason not to keep the batting order, which means we will toss it over to Chris first. Chris, our intrepid reporter, what's been up out in the broader world?
Surprise, surprise, surprise. Well, I've got two news items. One is going to start off with the WTF category. Evidently, a mother concerned about the amount of the occult that it's in Harry Potter has decided to rewrite Harry Potter, take out all of the magic and stuff, and turn it into a fundamentalist Christian academy, and is self-publishing the chapters.
Wait, that's happening? I heard rumor of this, but it's actually happening?
Yeah, it's happened. And, you know, she's like, oh, some people have loved it, and those are the people I care about, so the rest of you that's screaming about it, don't care.
Wow.
I know Harry Potter has some good messages. I'm keeping those messages in. So, his evil, here we go with the finger quotes, step-parents, not his step-parents, you know, his aunt and his uncle, now are atheists and evolutionists.
Of course, yes.
Oh, my God.
And Voldemort is pretty much replaced by Obama.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, wow. I was kind of like, well, you know, I'm not really thrilled. That's kind of, and then when they went to like, okay, now the president is like, I was like, really? Wow.
The Death Eaters are just called Muslims. I mean.
Exactly.
God.
You know, I was kind of like, not, you know, slightly open-minded First Amendment sort of stuff. But when she crossed the line into including politics in with her religion, that just, you know, you lost me there. What little enthusiasm, well, enthusiasm, but, you know, what little intellectual AI support what you say, even if I don't like it, kind of went out the window.
Yeah. She's not making money, is she?
No. It's all, that's part of the reason why she's not getting sued or something. It's just, it's out there.
Cam, you're the lawyer. Isn't there a way to sue people just because what they're doing is just repugnant?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could sue her just because she's an idiot. But, I mean, you know, all you need is $400 in a heartbeat to file a lawsuit. But I don't know if I don't know that the legal merits would carry them very far.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Okay. And my next news item is the FTW one, which is a former guest of the show, Chuck Wendig. Great guy. I've always, you know, every time I turn around, I keep trying to quote the guy when it comes to writing and stuff. He snagged the first Star Wars novel to come out that basically is going to tell you what happened after Return of the Jedi. It's
no way.
Aftermath.
No way. Nice. What? Our own guest got that?
Yes.
Get out of town.
So, yee.
Nice.
I mean, you know, I don't know if we're going to get a chance to get him to come back on now that he's so huge, but, you know, we'll throw out some feelers.
He is contractually obligated to come back, so.
Yes, we're still holding his houseplant hostage, right?
Yes, yes. Wow, that's great for Chuck. He was a great guest, and I am really excited for him. Wow, amazing.
Woohoo.
Brian, Cam, do you not share our excitement?
Very excited. And, I mean, I think that would be awesome if we can get him back on.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome, man.
It's pretty likely. We're working it.
Crossing excellent.
Fingers.
Wow. Nice. That's got to be, he's got to be just on cloud nine. I mean, on one hand, it's probably a lot of pressure, but that's a good problem to have.
It pays to know someone who went to college with him. Thank you, April.
Oh, that's right. Yes, oh. We do owe April for that connection. So we thank her profusely.
Yeah, she's not the connection that got him the book. That's the connection that got us him, right?
Yeah.
What we like to think of that is she's the connection that got him us, but...
Yeah, it's good to see all that exposure helping him get bigger and bigger projects.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, Disney was like, gosh, we got to troll the internet looking for a legit writer here.
And if that's true, I hope they saw my comment, because when I heard there was a ton of novels going out, I actually made a couple of comments on a few boards and stuff where I said, if they want something good that fast, there's two writers I'm thinking of, and one of them would be Chuck Wendig. And I bet you if he had seen that comment, he was biting his tongue the whole time.
Chris, you may have made this happen. Man, yeah. Now he's got to come back on.
It could have been you, Chris.
It could have been. But someone else got the millions of dollars for thinking it up, for taking credit for it first. What can I say?
Well, we got millions coming our way with this podcast, so don't you worry. Anything else to report?
No, I figured after that, I'm good. I can't top that.
That's pretty good. I don't know if anybody can, but Cam, you're up to bat next. Maybe you can.
I don't know. Let's see. Okay, so our amazing guest last week, Allison Hayslip, brought up the Apple Watch and how it's like $10,000. Apparently, there are already clones popping up in China for only $50. So if you spent 10 grand on an Apple Watch, sorry. This is something on my Christmas list. You know, some of us have day jobs where we carry, you know, briefcases and things like that. I know I do. And apparently Savior MTS has come out with a briefcase that can stop a 44 Magnum bullet at 15 paces. MTS actually stands for Multiple Threat Shield. So you just flip it open and put it in front of you almost like a Captain America shield, and it'll stop a bullet if you're accosted on the way to the library or back. Or so pick one of those up if that is an issue for you. You can get one for the low price of $850. Let's see. Nintendo news. Their next console is in development, and it's codenamed NX. So Nintendo fanboys and girls, rejoice. A new console is coming out.
Yay!
Wait, Nintendo has a console?
Do not.
They're also putting a lot of their IP into mobile gaming now, and following suit with the other the other big brands, and a lot of people are worried about what's going to happen to their IP because of that. So we'll see how that hashes out. And finally, the new Marvel Netflix series Daredevil is coming out on April 10th. And I guess apparently people are up in arms about the fact that he's not going to be wearing his traditional red Daredevil costume. He's going to be wearing the Frank Miller black, almost ninja type, all black costume. So I was a big fan of Daredevil growing up, and I like both costumes, so it doesn't matter to me. But I guess if you're a red purist, that's going to cause you agita. And that's it for my news.
Well, he wore that costume for the Trial of the Hulk, too, right?
I believe so, yes. But it's funny. I mean, if you look at the mock-ups and the pictures that they've shown in the news, he almost just looks like a ninja with sneakers on.
Oh, I did see the mock-ups. Yeah, he was carrying a briefcase, which didn't make any sense until I learned about this briefcase you just...
Yes.
And Cam, you stole my Captain America line I was prepping.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I guess I missed the Captain America line, or I am not in tune enough.
Oh, no, he just said that's what you could use the suitcase for.
Oh, okay, I got a Captain America-esque shield, yeah.
And I was thinking the same thing just before he said it.
Just to speculate for one moment, what briefcase-toting job do you have that requires a bulletproof shield? I'm just kind of curious.
One where the company takes out kidnapping insurance on you?
Yeah, I mean...
Senator? Congressman?
I guess,
Governor?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even kids these days, like, parents are putting, like, ballistic shields into their backpacks and stuff, too. So it's, you know, ever since, like, these multiple shootings and stuff have occurred, there's been a huge spike in personal defense gear.
This is like razor blades and Halloween candy on steroids.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
Well, if you got $850 to blow, I mean.
Yeah, why not? Sure.
Have at it. And then, you know, buy a $50 Apple Watch.
priorities
on the 9,000, you know, 250 or whatever, you're gonna $9,950 you're gonna save by buying the Apple Watch clone. You can buy several of these briefcases.
Yeah, the briefcases will save you from flying lead. Nothing will save you from the lead seeping into your bloodstream from the knockoff watch.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so that concludes your news, sir.
Yes, that is it for me.
Okay, special reporter Brian, you are up.
Let's see. There's two things in the news. One is really tragic, and one is just hilarious to me. The first one, and let me preface this. I have no idea what to call people. I don't know if you're black or African American or non-white or I have no idea. So please, I don't mean to offend anybody. The Native Americans are rather upset at role-playing game publisher Monty Cook for his stereotypical portrayal of them in one of his role-playing systems. And as the way things go these days, there's a petition on change.org to force him to change that content.
Oh, man. Is it like Disney, like Peter Pan level offensiveness, or what are we talking about?
I mean, they're kind of villainous in the game. So, I mean, I guess they're pretty bloodthirsty savages.
Oh, okay. Okay. That sounds offensive, but change.org, like, what, is Obama going to like kick this guy's door in and tell him to unpublish it or something? Or
I don't know. I was surprised to learn there's not a hashtag.
Wow, any thoughts on that, guys? I mean, we were just talking about maybe throwing free speech aside to shut down the Harry Potter evangelical update. I don't know. I mean, you're allowed to publish offensive and ugly stuff, right?
What bothers me most about this is, and I think we have to admit this, we have completely destroyed those people.
Yeah.
I mean, we have eradicated the Native American Indian. And no one's upset about that, but they're upset about, you know, wearing a leopard skin in a video game.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's easy to get on a soapbox about identity stuff, I guess. And so people wanting the path of least resistance, it's easy to act offended, I guess. I don't know how. I'm not quite sure I'm getting the point across that I want to, but... It's an easy thing to latch onto and be righteous about, I guess, right?
since you can't actually fix the problem, you may as well fix a tiny symptom.
Yeah, I mean, you can't fix the history, and now this guy's painting certain people and their culture in an unflattering light. I mean, you know what? How about they, instead of change.org, how about they write the guy a letter? I mean, I don't know that maybe they did, but like, look, man, this is kind of really demeaning to our people. Think maybe you could change some of this stuff up for us? Maybe he would. Just a thought.
I think they actually went through the channels. They contacted him and let him know that it was outrageous to them. And trying to play devil's advocate, he's not the only one doing it, and his books are printed and already out, so I don't know what he could do at this point besides lose a shitload of money.
Later editions, I guess you could.
Yeah, pretty much. Later
hopefully,
editions.
Hopefully something like that, yeah. At least, I mean, I think they're called, like, Thunderbreakers or something. Like, even the name is pretty stereotypically cheesy. At least they can change, like, the easy-to-print stuff.
What are your thoughts on that, Cam? You've been kind of quiet.
No thoughts.
You reserve the
right. Yeah, I reserve the right to comment in the future. Yes, I'm exercising my Fifth Amendment right.
There you go.
I'd be kind of surprised if Mighty didn't respond somehow. But
we'll I don't know. I mean, if I was making a piece of art or something creative and, you know, I inadvertently offended somebody, I would probably, I mean, as long as they weren't asking me, as long as I didn't think they were being unreasonable, which doesn't sound like these Native Americans are, I think I would take steps to remove offensive material from my published work and apologize. I mean, just for the sake of building goodwill and realizing, you know, sometimes the things we do inadvertently hurt people's feelings. That's really what it comes down to, right?
No, absolutely. And I mean, you hear this every year too with like the, you know, the Washington Redskins football team and their name and stuff like that. I mean, and Brian, to your point, you're right. I mean, we've absolutely decimated them. And, you know, okay, great. So they get some casino money, but like, I mean, look at their culture. I mean, look at their, the prevalence of addiction and alcoholism and all, you know,
and
that kind
suicide.
Of stuff. Suicide, yeah.
Suicide rate's terrifying.
Yeah.
And
so,
diabetes, no less.
And, you know, like everything else in America, we just sort of try to throw some money at it. So I think the least we could do is try not to offend them any more
right.
than we already have, you know.
Right.
But, you know, I really think it comes down to the individual. So, I mean, if I were him, I would probably try to fix what I could. But, you know, like I said, it's his work and who knows.
Yeah, true. All right, well, either way, that sucks. I guess the moral of that story is be a little sensitive when you're maybe borrowing elements from people's culture, even in a fictional setting. So, Brian, any more news to report?
Speaking of cultural sensitivity and horribly stereotypical behavior, there is a Japanese Kickstarter. Well, it's not a Kickstarter. It's crowdfunding. It's, I can't remember now, readyfor.org or something like that. Has anybody heard about any stereotypical Japanese Kickstarter?
I think not, no.
There is a Kickstarter to pierce the moon with the spear of Longinus.
Oh, from Evangelion, right?
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
They're trying to raise 100 million yen to make a giant replica of the spear of Longinus. They're going to engrave all of the contributors' names on the spear, and they're going to pierce the moon with it.
They're going to, like, contract with a space lift company or government agency to have this thing, like, launched away from Earth and to the moon?
Yes. And then they're not going to, like, chuck it or anything. They actually have, like, a little rover to dig in and plant it. But,
That's absurd. It really is absurd.
It's kind of frightening, too. They've got I think it's like 48% funded. It's looking pretty likely.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. When I looked at it, they were only like 15 or 20% funded. They need something ridiculous. Like, I don't know what the equivalent in American dollars is, but something in the neighborhood of like some 20 million, 30 million, something like that.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous.
I'm pleased and appalled at the same time. And I think this gives me a great episode idea. Kickstarting NASA. Because if they can raise this much money for this stupid crap, surely there's people that want to, like, explore other planets for water or something, right?
We could just trick the people. Like, now we have a Kickstarter to, like, fund the delivery company. And it's just building spaceships and...
Yeah, I like that, Brian.
Oh, did you guys hear about Mars One?
No.
Now, it turns out that they may be a little less funded and a little more sketchy than people thought.
Uh-oh.
The finalists have been sent a little letter that basically kind of says, hey, if you're going to get paid for your interviews, feel free to accept the money. Also, feel free to send us 75% of it to help fund the project.
What? They're falling short of their funding goals?
Evidently. And a lot of the finalists, you know, a lot of these bright people, they are not impressed with the level of criteria they've had to meet. A doctor gets on Skype with them and asks him a few questions and then goes, yep, oh, you're healthy enough to go to Mars.
Wait. There's no medical exam?
Over Skype.
That's not a medical exam.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So wait, that thing that I always thought had absolutely zero chance of happening might not happen?
It has a negative chance of happening at this point, unless something else happens.
Wow, that's how much money did they raise?
I have no clue.
My God. I mean, wow. I don't even know what to say. Okay. When a doctor's Skyping you to see if you're ready for, like, interplanetary travel, that does not bode well for the project.
I'm really bummed about that. I did not find it likely, but I was really hopeful for them.
Me too. I don't know. At the very least, I guess I was hoping it would have been the seed money for, like, a larger campaign or something, you know? But, that's too bad.
That kills my illusion, too, because I thought it was, like, especially when they had, like, the 10,000 or whatever, you know, all the people that applied, I just had visions of, like, that movie Armageddon, where it was, like, where they were, like, putting the guys through all the tests. They just had a bunch of buffoons in there, like, trying to get in, and the scientists being like, no, dude, get out of here.
Did they charge, like, a fee to apply or something?
What
I think is, from what I heard, is now they're actually starting that kind of thing of like, well, you know, you can send us some cash.
Oh, God.
This is all one huge scam. Congratulations, you're a finalist. Please send $300,000.
Yeah, like that old who's who in America sort of thing.
Yeah.
Please fund this endeavor and we will be glad to send you to Mars. That sucks.
One way.
Yeah, one way.
That's a downer. So, Brian, any more news? Now we're on a negative note for sure now.
Now, no more news.
Well, then, on that note, the Kickstarter kickstarted something in my head, a little news bit I forgot that should be a little more upbeat for you guys.
Okay, hit it.
Okay, speaking of crowdfunding, Indiegogo has a project on that is being sponsored by Nathan Fillion and Alan Tyduck called Con Man. It's already funded. It's already in stretch goals. And it's going to be a web series with Tyduck as the main character, basically kind of experiencing... The character was on a really great sci-fi show a few years ago, as well as Nathan Fillion's character. It was canceled way too soon. And to quote Nathan Fillion, does that mean too soon for the series or too soon to talk about? The answer is just too soon on both questions. And Alan Tudyk's character hasn't been really successful. He's making more money off the con circuit than being an actor. And he's hanging out with his friend, who is played by Nathan Fillion, whose career has taken off since the cancellation. So no Entourage level of meta-ness there at all. You know?
Right.
And they were going to do like 3 episodes, and I think it's getting to the point where their stretch goals have gotten past those 3 initial episodes. It's in the millions now. In fact, I think they've said they're like the second or third fastest funded web series on Indiegogo.
Dude, good for them, but $1 million for 3 episodes?
Actually, I think they originally asked for like $500,000, and that's what the... I'm going to actually look it up right now while we're talking.
Well, if that's true, now they can do 6 episodes. Isn't TV expensive?
Oh, yes.
It's not TV, though. It's like a web episode. I mean, you don't have to go balls out, like... I mean, if you're begging for money from people, couldn't you, like, kind of cut corners a little?
Well, their thing is, they're like, well, we're doing a, you know, thing about being at a con that takes a lot of people, a lot of extras.
Just go to a con.
Yeah, just I mean, like, have people volunteer for that.
Everybody working at a con is a volunteer anyway. Oh my God, another episode idea. How the hell cons get away with, like, 5 people making volunteer money while everybody else works for free?
Okay, guys, brace for the update. They originally asked for a little under $500,000, 42, you know, 425. Right now they're at 2,118,983, which means I'm losing track of how many episodes.
Well, it was $500,000 for how many episodes?
For the first three.
So they raise four times what they want.
No,
so...
I doubt it's linear.
Yeah, it should decrease.
Yeah, oh, yeah, right, because there's the initial hump to get over, right?
Yeah. So at 575, the stretch goal was the fourth episode, then the fifth at 725, the sixth at 90, at 900,000, and then a little over $1 million for the next episode.
Wait, what?
That's actually pretty linear, isn't it?
No, that's...
No, it's going down by like 50,000, like 100,000.
Yeah. Well, it's 1,150,000, and now they're at, you know, 1.5. So I think they've gotten most of their episodes funded.
Yeah, I mean, if it's going at that like reduction rate, they should have like 1 million episodes.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll get Nathan Fillion on and we'll get to the bottom of this maybe next week.
For sure. I mean, so they're basically just doing their life after Serenity, right? Or after Firefly?
I mean, yeah, just, in a comedy web series.
In a comedy way, yeah.
It has 23 days to go.
Wow. Well, they might get that exploding kittens money.
Again, good for them, but where's all this money coming from? I thought everybody was broke and poor and
They have over 30,000 funders.
I can't pump gas without some fucking homeless guy begging me for a meal. But people are forking over millions of dollars.
I love this objection of yours, Brian. We've talked about Kickstarters in the past that have just taken in these huge sums of money, and you're always outraged by it, which I find hilarious and heartening. Yeah, I mean, we don't seem to have money for essential stuff, but man, you put out a Kickstarter and people, the money is just found between the couch cushions, right?
But I mean, in fairness, though, these big ones are like pretty well-known entities. Like Chris said, I mean, 30,000 people. And, you know, those guys have a huge cult following, both of them.
Okay, but Brian, remember the Indiegogo I brought up about patches to administer like injections so like diabetics wouldn't have to use needles?
Oh, yeah. Basically, like every diabetic on the planet would no longer have to lance themselves every single day. That got like $7,000.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that didn't even get like 1/100th of an Exploding Kittens campaign.
Yeah.
God, that was sad, too. Met this guy who was doing the project. He was like a PhD. Yeah, we're trying to basically make it so people don't have to use needles anymore. If we could just raise some money, we could get this project going.
This is revolutionary technology that will change hundreds of thousands of lives.
Nah, I'd rather play... I'd rather...
Cats involved.
Oh, God. This is morphing into a how crowdfunding could be appropriated for better purposes episode, but...
And for the record, I love the idea of crowdfunding. I just don't understand, like... Everybody objects to trickle-up economics, and everybody supports it.
Yeah, true. God, what a bummer. Guys, I'm bummed out by the news and by the...
What a high note to end on, Chris. Thanks.
I thought it was a high note.
It only made it worse. So let's see about getting our millions by getting off to tonight's topic, thereby ensuring that our listeners will be back for more and will do a Kickstarter to get us to do a live network show maybe or something.
And the stretch goal is going to be an insulin patch.
Ah, God.
We'll go from 1 million to 2 million and we'll just fund that guy's campaign as a stretch goal.
Exactly. There you go. So on to a more lighthearted and lovely topic. And it sort of relates to Kickstarter in that crowdfunding, such as it is, owes its existence to the internet, as does using technology outside of like tape mailing services that I'm sure existed in the 80s to find love online. There were a couple of planks basically in this episode, Chris, that you indicated you might want to talk about. Basically, the overall theme is sort of dating in the geek age. There was some discussion surrounding speed dating at conventions and all that sort of thing. A lot of discussion about dating within niches. And definitely a lot of discussion pre-show about the role the internet plays in sort of facilitating meeting somebody who you are compatible with. So with all that sort of preloaded, I'll let you sort of take the floor and run with it.
All right.
The conch is yours.
All right. As I hold this conch, I will take my responsibility seriously. Well... For me, I mean, let's rewind for a moment, because part of what's happened is, back in the day, the main ways to, like, you know, get match made or find your hookup or whatever was your friends, your family, or your religious institution. And those things have all kind of fallen to the wayside. I mean, you know, the religious has probably been first to kind of die off a little bit. And then, you know, every other comedy movie pokes fun about the family trying to get involved these days. And that's gotten to the point where, like, I mean, even your friends, like, nobody can put a good word in for anybody. Or everybody knows everybody too well to say, oh, no. I know her. I really know her. And trust me, no. No. And, you know, when I say her, please substitute him for your particular orientation. So, but now that geek culture has become a big part of pop culture, I feel like, you know, it's people would assume that being a geek and getting a love life or getting a relationship would be easier. And I don't know exactly. I mean, I've been wondering if, like, depending on the thing you're in, whether it is easier now or less or harder. I mean, from my personal sort of experience, you know, I mentioned into video games. Oh, that's great. That's cool. Mentioned all the kind of movies and stories and books I like to read. Oh, great. And then, you know, at one point I'd be like, and I also role play. And they're like, oh, you mean you're going to be the repairman and I'm going to be that bored housewife? Oh, no. Like, we're going to roll some dice and you're going to be a paladin and I'm going to be the game master sort of thing. And like, whoa, wait. That's kind of weird.
That's a line.
That's a line, you know?
Yeah.
It's been crossed.
A little bit of advice?
Yes.
Next time, just say yes, and then do that with her.
All right. Who says I haven't?
That is sound advice.
So, those are some of the thoughts and questions I had kind of bouncing in my mind. A little background. I am in a relationship, and we met online. And for her, at the time I mentioned I was a writer, but didn't really drop the bomb, so to speak, that I was doing genre fiction. But she thought it was cool that I was artistic. And I also mentioned that I had a career, so she knew I was, you know, had the best of both worlds, artistic, but yet had a stable sort of income. She wanted to let people know right on out, I like zombie movies, I like sci-fi movies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I got kind of lucky because once she said she put that online, her mailbox was constantly full. If I had waited a day or two later, she would have just shut everything down because she just couldn't handle the volume of, you know, geeky guys going, holy crap, this is the one. This is one I definitely need to put on my list. So, and we bonded through those geeky hobbies. You know, we have a couple of great stores here. Adventure Game Store being one, and they were definitely on the list of places to go for a date, and they made a great impression.
Awesome.
So I just want to touch base with you guys and see what your thoughts were on it. Who wants to go first?
Well, it's interesting. I guess I've never really considered dating within one's niche, per se. It just so happens that the circles I run in, thankfully, mean I'm in the company of people who are compatible most of the time. And you saying that your girlfriend, you know, once she put these niche interests out there, she got like insane amounts of interest, really brings to my mind thoughts about just how gender balanced geekdom is. Because, I mean, if there's 105...
You mean not balanced?
I do mean not balanced, because there's like 105 messages a day coming into one woman's inbox that points to a ratio being somewhat off. That's all I'm going to say about that. What do you guys think?
I have always, well, not always, I guess. I've been a fan of online dating for a long time. I met my first very serious relationship on AOL. That should tell you something.
Yeah.
And since then, I've had other fairly successful relationships. I mean, I'm not married or anything, but that's fortuitous, not because they didn't want to. I think you can find a lot of decent people.
I couldn't argue with that.
So do you think the built-in filtering and sort of narrowing capabilities help ensure compatibility?
Probably. I will say I prefer sites that let you do your own filtering. Like, I actually did try once upon a time eHarmony, and they would send people that were, you know, psychologically like Briggs-Meyer compatible.
Right.
And not necessarily people that were actually into the same stuff that you're into. Usually if I see a girl make a joke about, you know, Doctor Who or Star Wars or something like that in their profile, even if they're an NTSD and I'm a not safe for work or whatever, there's that like underlying compatibility. There's that, oh, well, we'll get along, and then everything else is just working at it.
Interesting. Cam, what are you thinking, man?
You know, I'm not opposed to the online thing. I mean, I've done it before, but I never really had much success. I mean, similar to Brian, I think, you know, they can match you with whatever stupid algorithms they use, but I've never found that those algorithms ever really matched me with someone that I really liked that much, or was really compatible with the stuff that I was into. I actually met my current love interest playing tabletop games. So, I mean, there is a geek connection there, I guess, in terms of how we met, but it wasn't online. It was just, you know, at a gaming night, and we became friends and got to know each other, and it turned into something more. So I like that aspect. I mean, especially, and I mean, that correlates sort of with what we've talked about on several other episodes about, you know, the explosion of tabletop gaming and the explosion of just people, I think, searching for more personal interaction rather than online, just, you know, typing away or playing Words with Friends or something with someone, you know, across the country, and people wanting to get together more and have social, actual face-to-face interactions. And so I think that's a good thing.
Now, I'm interested in how much credit the internet is due. Was the event you met at advertised online? Was it like a meetup or something? Or,
I mean, it was one of our game nights.
So, kind of.
Well, one of the game nights sponsored by the Adventure Game Store.
But there might have been an element of still enabled, even though you didn't go through a dating site. Like, the technology age may have... Right.
Yeah, certainly the internet played a part in terms of getting people there. And, you know, she was probably one of them. I was not, but, you know, I just knew about it because of the game store. But... yeah, I mean, certainly, I think, but I mean, what doesn't the internet play a part in these days anymore? I mean, even the cup of coffee you make in the morning, the internet probably has something to do with.
Well, that may be an unfair concept that I have, because to me, the alternative is like, you know, scattershot at a bar or at a Starbucks or something. Like, you go to a place where people gather and try to look interesting.
Yeah. But even that, same thing too. Internet marketing, right? I mean, like,
yeah.
To get people, it's the same thing. I think if you're drawing lines between dating, you know, online and finding someone in, I guess, quote unquote, the real world, where do you draw the line? But at the end of the day, I don't think it matters. I mean, love is love wherever you find it. I mean, if you find it online, great. If you find it falling down the stairs, I mean, that's great too. I think it just all comes down to meeting the person that's right for you and putting yourself in the best position possible that you think will be to meet that person.
Something I've always maintained, and this could just be something that's specific to me, is that common interests, and a lot of common interests, they don't have to be 100% one-to-one, but a lot of overlap really helps, because I think answering what are we doing this weekend with something that you both really want to do consistently really helps things over the long haul. What do you guys think about that? So basically, there's something to be said for the 105, you know, messages a day coming into the girl's inbox, because that shows that common interests are valued by potential suitors.
I will say this, you do not want that overlap to be 100% either.
True. So true. Very
because
true.
You can really get sick of somebody no matter how cool they are.
Oh, so if you're kind of up each other's butt because there's nothing that one wants to do that the other doesn't, in other words, there's no alone time.
Or if there's just nothing new. What did you do? Well, I played Warcraft. What did you do? Well, I played Warcraft. All right. Well, nothing to talk about. every once in a while it should be like, oh, I tried out this new thing. Oh, that sounds interesting. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I would say 70%, 60 to 70% overlap is good.
Yeah.
You want that 30, 40% that lies outside the shared set so that you guys can find each other interesting and introduce one another to new things, you know?
That sounds like a pretty good ratio.
Yeah, that's about right, I think.
Thanks. The Ganza dating site, Ganza Dating, is going to employ an algorithm that ensures that overlap in precisely that proportion.
I'm sorry, this person's too compatible. We're not recommending
her. Yeah, you guys will never stop being around each other.
I think you hit the nail on the head, too, in terms of, you know, you want to have some interests that are just your own as well. You know, you don't want to be always doing the same thing all the time with that person. You want to be able to have her do her thing and you do your thing and then meet back up and do your things together, because you can't become joined at the hip, or it's not
not at the outset anyway. And
yeah,
and you want to be able to share new things with one another, and you know that's very important. And
yeah,
I know there are a lot of couples who, to Brian's point, and I mean he hits close to home with a lot of people I've known, probably do just to like play WoW together all the time. I've almost never heard of that leading to good things. So that's an extreme example of 100% interest overlap. And you don't get into a rut. You start your relationship off in a rut.
Yeah, that leads to, well, I've invested so much already.
Right. Like we should probably break up, but like we're in the same guild. So
same guild, same apartment, same checking account.
Right. We know all the same people. We know all the same people online. This isn't real.
Yeah. Where am I going to find another healer?
Exactly.
Well, I have an answer for that, actually.
Uh-oh.
Somewhere my mind got triggered, and way back in 2008, I actually found a couple of geek dating sites. Geek to Geek, SoulGeek.com, and Geek Me More. Geek Me More is a newer one. I haven't seen it since 2008. You know, from what I remember, the issues I had with these back in that day was, again, the ratio. I mean, I could find somebody, but they were like in another state or two states over. And there might be some geek girls, you know, somewhere within my state, but, you know, all sorts of different things, ages and all that, or just not even up compatible interests.
Brian, I remember several years ago, I don't know if you had luck on it, but you were exploring and even maybe recommending a little one such site. I don't remember if you even remember the name of it.
That was Geek to Geek.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met
her.
I met a person there.
Yeah.
Give that a recommendation, do you? Or
well, the problem now is there's like 15 people on it.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
You basically... There's so many... just free sites like Plenty of Fish and OkCupid and even Tinder. Like, there's no longer a need to go niche. So I think like the few people who do are alone.
Do those free sites cater to the niches sufficiently though? Do they have like subreddits or something akin to that?
One of the things that I liked about OkCupid was they had like these cheesy quizzes that you could take. So you could always look at like, oh, she's a Nimoy, cool, or oh, she's a Kirk, no thank you, or...
Okay. That's fun and kind of interesting, I think.
And I always thought that gave you... Because I admit, sometimes you do feel like, you know, I'm in my underwear, it's 4 a.m., kind of like, this is sad and lonely, browsing for women to order off Amazon. But... the other, when you spice it up a little bit, you're like, no, I'm actually reading interesting things about people. And, you know, there's like funny quizzes to take, and it's not quite as catalog-ish.
That's cool. So gamified a little bit. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Or at least interest. Like I would read those humorous, stereotypes on Reddit or on Facebook anyway. Why not read them while you're interested in somebody? Or
sure.
Which wand would you have from Harry Potter?
Yeah, okay, okay. That's
which house would you be in?
Yeah.
Right, right. If there was a couple sorting hat, what house would we be sorted in together? God. I wanted to shift gears for a second, guys, to step away from online and get back to something I mentioned during sort of my build up to this discussion. It was something that you guys talked about pre-show, and I guess a good segue into it is the fact that we were sort of talking about gamification of this whole meeting and matching process. Have one or all of you taken part, especially in a convention setting, at one of these speed dating events?
Yes, I have. And I have to say it was a pretty positive experience, actually. I don't know about at smaller cons, because the one I did was at MegaCon. And I actually had very low expectations of it because I was already sort of in a bad mood. I'd been there, like, you know, anyone that's been to MegaCon knows, like, Saturday is just, it's a zoo. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. It's almost impossible to walk through that place. I'd been there for hours and hours and hours. My brother and I were there. He had some things that he wanted to go take care of and do, or some panels, or I don't remember what he was doing, but I had no interest in it. I was just sort of sitting in the corner, just kind of chilling, and I saw that there was this big line of people going into this, you know, little hall or whatever. And I went up, and it was a, you know, it was a speed dating event. And I just said, you know, screw it. It's a place where I can go in, and they had drinks and snacks and, you know, places to sit. So I was like, all right, well, let me go ahead and do this. And I did it, and it was a really positive experience. I mean, you there were, I'd say probably 100 people, 50 guys, 50 girls. And you just sat and talked with each one of them for like 2 or 3 minutes each. And you had your little card and you wrote down their number if you liked them. And at the end of the event, basically all the guys went to one end of the room. All the girls went to the other end of the room. And at each corresponding end of the room was a piece of paper with all the numbers on there. So, like, you know, there was 1 through 50 for guys and then 1 through 50 for girls. So, say I was number 23, a girl could go onto my page and write down her phone number or email or whatever it was, and then I could do the same on the other end, you know, for whoever I was interested in. And then we switched sides again and grabbed our papers, and then you went home, you know, then you basically left with your paper with the contact information of the people that were interested in you, and then you could contact them, you know, at your leisure. I found it a pretty positive experience. I mean, I met some really nice people. You know, nothing really came of it love interest wise, but the people that I did meet were really nice. And you know, I still, you know, I'm friends with several of them on Facebook and stuff now. The issue with that, though, was that sort of what you alluded to, Chris, with the people being out of state. I mean, MegaCon's in Orlando. I live in South Florida. And out of the 7 or 8 people that were interested, all of them either lived in Orlando or north, out of state or somewhere else. So it was cool in terms of meeting people, but it wasn't very practical in terms of, okay, we met, we liked each other, we hit it off, we have a lot of the same interests, but, you know, you live in Alabama and I live in, you know, South Florida.
So the way to increase your odds at an event like that is to make sure the event is in your hometown.
Yeah, or if, you know, you just be okay with, you know, having an online relationship or traveling a lot, you know.
There are certain benefits to that also. I've had a couple of fairly long distance, not like across country or anything, but, you know, 2-3 hours and to the point of having your own life. That's pretty awesome. Like, you do not get bothered Monday through Friday and then, you can make the trip on the weekend or something, you know?
Hey, I vote for that, Brian. I got fringe benefits out of at least 2 of those relationships you had because we like went to Orlando all the time and went to Disney and all kinds of cool stuff so you could meet up with these chicks.
It's always Orlando or Tampa. I don't really understand why, but...
Oh, man, that was great for me. Yeah, you know what? Date girls near theme parks if you would. Then I'll go with you on all your trips.
Well, you know, that is actually a good point because unless you two hit it off really well or you're really close to each other, you're going to be dating only on the weekend anyway.
That's true, yeah. Actually, I prefer dating Monday through Friday so I can have my weekends free. I'm kidding, of course. I don't want that out there. I know our legions of female fans are sizing us up at all times, so I want to make sure they all know I'm kidding. Let's be honest, though. Within the geek community, the online relationship is probably not at all exotic. In fact, people probably know each other as their avatars in some online game in a lot of cases before they ever know each other in real life, right?
Very true.
I know one woman that's her fiancé. They met online. They were in the same guild. And as far as I know, they're a happy couple. I mean, you know, realistically, you know, they have their issues here and there, but overall they seem well adjusted in a team.
Well, they got married in like Ironforge. I mean, what a picturesque wedding spot.
I do remember again years ago playing EverQuest, and I just assume every character is male. Like, I never, like, oh, so how are you, you know, are you female? I never, like, try to chat with people. I just, I don't know, like, I have friends for that. I don't need my healer or my tank or my DPS to be my best buddy. But this couple started talking, and I was like, oh, so wait, you're actually a couple? And they're like, yeah, we're actually a couple, and we do this together. And there was, like, this weird pause. And then I think they okayed it or whatever, and then the guy spoke up, and he's like, yeah, our son was actually conceived during a camp for
That is hilarious.
It was Elder Spiritualist beads. I it's so weird that I remember the item and everything. They were trying to camp Elder Spiritualist beads in a Chardock B. We've got 18 minutes, let's go.
And they ended up summoning a child.
Yes.
You mean, Brian, you didn't start all your conversations /S/L?
Okay, you gotta humor me. What the heck does that mean?
Age, sex, location?
You know, you are old.
You didn't know that, Chris? Man, that's like...
No.
That's standard, dude.
They kept elder beads and conceived their eldest child. That's romantic as hell. My God.
Well, just to let you know, by the way, for me... When I do those games, I usually pick a female avatar because if I'm going to be looking at the same avatar for hours on end, I want something that I find attractive.
Wait, you mean when you're seeking out an avatar or when you choose your own?
Yeah, when I choose my own, I usually choose something that I would like to look at all the time.
That's you. You and Brian had that philosophy. I have to be able to relate, and so I choose a male avatar. I know that's sexist of me, but if it's an extension of my person, I like it generally to resemble me. It can be like...
Well, if I have to stare at a cartoon butt for hours on end, I'd rather have it be a female cartoon butt.
Well, again, that's a fair point, but I view my avatar in a game like that as an extension of me, and I don't know, it seems like false advertising to come across as a comely she-elf when I'm in fact a comely he-man.
I think my first character in EverQuest was male. And then I actually just wanted to roleplay. One of my favorite literary characters is Lygia from the Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes.
Poem. So I created her to try to roleplay that character. And people, and again, because I assume everyone's male, I assume everyone else assumes I'm male. Oh my god, I could do the most stereotypical thing. Like, I'd be like, sup, bitches, what the fuck we doing tonight? Are you really a girl? Do I act like a female in any fucking way, bro?
Yeah, kind of. Are you hot?
Oh my god.
I do have a 40-inch bust, if it helps. I mean...
So you're a girl? No, dude, I'm fat. I've got this is veering into a discussion of online romance, so I will discuss two instances. The first one, I was checking out Second Life, which is a game in the broadest sense of the term game, I think. I was intrigued by all the things people were creating. I really was not interested in the social aspects. And so I checked it out, and then I went away for a long time, and then I went back in to see how it evolved, and so it went. Every 6 months to a year, I would pop back in and see how the game had evolved. and I would go to old landmarks and they would be totally gone. And that just fascinated me about Second Life. Well, I happened to run into a quote unquote girl at one place who noted that I had an older surname, which meant that I must be like a really old school player. Anyway, she proceeded to be really friendly, give me pointers, give me a lot of cool stuff, but she was pursuing a romantic angle. And I'm just like not buying into this whole thing. Like I really avoided talking to people in that game. I wasn't interested in having an avatar love affair. But at her insistence, I went to some cool spot in the game. I don't even remember. She's like, "Isn't this nice?" I'm like, yeah. She's like, "Here, try this." And I don't even remember how it worked, if I had to apply some animation. But basically, so it was some animation where your characters would like embrace. And so you would go into a first-person view of the person's face in your face. Can you imagine this? So like when you're face-to-face with somebody in real life, imagine that, but it's their avatar's face, like taking up your whole screen. Isn't this nice? And I'm like, I'm trying not to be mean because I have a feeling that this person is just, I don't know.
One rejection away.
Yeah, one rejection away from like doing a swan dive off of a high bridge. And that was really, really awkward. And I like disentangled and like, I said something like, "This is really magical, but unfortunately I have to return to the real world," and blah, blah, blah. And you know, I didn't return to Second Life for a long time after that. And when I went back for my next update, saw a whole progression of, "Hey, where are you been? Where you been? Where you been?" And that got more and more sour, and to the point bordering on like psychopathic, as she grew increasingly frustrated with my unavailability in game.
Called it.
Yeah, yeah. So that was one interesting thing. And then on a much less stocky and more lighthearted note, Brian and I engaged in a social experiment, speaking of avatar gender and speaking of ratio and speaking of all these things, wherein we created sprightly little wood elf characters named, what were they, Pretty Eyes and Gentle Swan, Brian?
Pretty Eyes and Gentle Swan. Only because Gentle Duck got rejected.
Yeah, Gentle Duck was rejected, so I had to go with Gentle Swan.
Gentle Duck.
And we proceeded to like walk around this newbie area, like, "Oh, we're lost. Oh," like just, and one sucker after another approach, "Are you a lady?" Like handing us items and guiding us and like doing all this stuff. And then like adding us as friends, like, "Oh, let's go play. Oh, I care right now. Tee hee." That was being kind of like heartless bitches, right, Brian?
I am just amazed. It really, like, who, with no evidence whatsoever, assumes you're actually what your character says? Like, I know there are women on the internet, but in online role-playing games in the year 2000, it was the vast, 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 vast majority male.
I know.
So you guys basically did the routine of the married lady who takes off her wedding ring before she walks into the bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To get free drinks, except we were getting like free daggers and coins and all that kind of stuff.
You got a crush tunic.
Yeah, we did. We did. We did. We got pretty coveted stuff for being so low level as we were. And
then I realized the crush tunic had like a huge cleavage cut out. And I was like, oh, that's why.
So our disentanglement from our suitor's embrace in that was a lot more fun than my Second Life one. We were in a starting city called Kelethan, which was a tree city. So you had to like take elevators up to the top. And we accidentally both fell off the edge and died. And then, like, of course, it logs you back on. "I fell. Oh, no." And all, of course, everybody was helping, volunteering to help us find our bodies. And I think we were like, "Oh, we're just too distraught. We need a break. Oh, this game's hard." And we like logged off.
No!
Oh, the number of neckbeard hearts we broke on that night, Brian. So yeah, that's kind of unromantic and maybe a little cynical of us. I don't know. Are we bad people for having done that?
I've always felt, just philosophically, it only hurts if you know. So I'm sure that was a very romantic evening for Giver My All, the paladin.
That was Giver My All!
It was a very clever pun. It was AWL, give her my all. Sorry, I hope you're not listening, dude. I don't mean to pick on you.
With an avatar name like that, I think he deserved everything he got.
Probably.
Listen, Listen, I'm sure Give Her My All ended up meeting up with an elfin maiden who I saved by accident during a pitched battle in the woods near Kelothin.
Immacumen?
No, not Immacumen. Although that one was pretty bad, too. Brian, spell Immacumen for the guys.
We're so off topic.
Do it.
The character's name is Macuimn. ING, I'm coming.
Oh.
And Tom looked at her and was like, oh, Immaculate's dying. Let me help her.
No. No, for the... In my defense, I did not save Immaculate. I saved somebody whose name was much more egregious and obvious. This girl's name was Mount Me.
Oh my God.
This quote-unquote girl.
Right. Mount Me. I'm sure he subscribed to the philosophy of, you know, an avatar you like. But decidedly not romantic. It was a real turnoff. I did not date Mount Me, nor did either of us pursue Immaculing.
Just a heads up, when I do make an avatar, I try to at least make an actual name.
Well, Immaculing, or Immaculing, however it was spelled, is a real name. So is Mountame.
Mountame.
So was Pretty Eyes.
And Gentle Swan.
Oh my.
So guys, let's wrap this up by visiting pretty much our favorite place to visit, the future. Where do you see things going? We're just like 6 months away from compelling virtual reality spaces. Never mind games, just like alternate realities into which we can escape. What's that going to do for romance?
This reminds me of the old Conan. In the year 2000.
Oh, those are great.
Man, I think that as attention spans get shorter, you know, it's just going to be more and more Tinder type apps on the phone where it's just like, hey, you're nearby and I'm nearby and let's hook up. And I mean, that's what I see. But
I see the end of the human race as we know it. What? I actually don't have to put any effort to get what I want?
No. I don't know if I agree, because Tinder still involves like being out in the world and nearby geographically. The virtual reality involves never leaving your chair.
True.
I think you might see two separate. You might see a forking and more Tinder, like real world stuff for like the people who are comfortable outside the home, and similar things going on inside these new virtual spaces. In fact, the virtual reality might mirror the real world, with the exception being that your avatar is just going to animate together.
Did you guys see that movie, Her, with Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson?
I did.
Yeah, so are you thinking it's going to move towards something like that, where, I mean, pretty much it's going to be either someone that's an actual person but is far away online, or you might actually be dating an AI?
That'll only work for me if I know that the voice was done by Scarlett Johansson. If it was done by somebody else, it's just not going to work.
Well, there might be a third option with augmented reality, where you kind of get the two mixed together. You're going to be outside meeting people physically, but hey, you know, we're not really dressed up the way you think. We're cosplaying 24/7, just the public doesn't know it.
You know what it's going to be there, Chris? They're literally going to have a beer goggles app. Like, you're going to be at a bar, like, Jesus Christ, you just turn this thing on. Oh, that's better. Yeah, let's go out.
That's funny.
You know, there was a bizarre thing where a Korean guy was divorcing his wife because she gave him an ugly baby. Because, and this is true, and because he had no idea and she never disclosed, she had a ton of plastic surgery.
Oh, right. She was actually ugly underneath. Right.
Exactly.
So here's a question. If you have like permanent, like augmented reality inserts in your eye, do you ever want to turn it off and like behold the creature you're actually with?
Well, you know, it was kind of way before its time, but there was this novel called Dream Park by Larry Niven and Stephen Barnes. And one of the things they got into was with augmented reality was you literally, like a TV, you would have different channels. Like, you could participate in 2 to 3 different augmented realities at the same time or toggle between them. So maybe you'll see the person underneath, or if you want to have a little variety, you could change the channel and make them look like somebody else for a time.
Yeah, interesting. I'm not sure I like these levels of, what's the word I'm looking for? Augmentation, at least conceptually. Brian, you be the final word on the future, man. What do you think?
I one moment. I have to roll back a second. While you guys were chatting, I looked this back up. I had originally considered this for my my news extravaganza, but it didn't make the cut. But since it just came up so perfectly, I will mention it. Tinder users at SXSW are falling in love with an AI. There's a photo of like some gestalt hot chick on Tinder, and there's a program, there's an AI handling the conversation. And oh my god, you're awesome. Can we meet? She's basically a big Turing test.
That was a South by Southwest SXX. I think that's what that was, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
And they actually had people are thinking it was a viral event versus a real event, but they had anti-AI demonstrators earlier the week at that event.
They did? Really?
Yeah, so they might have, that might be kind of, the two might be related.
I would not be surprised if that was like faux publicity.
Those anti-AI demonstrators need to get some dates, that way they can do better things with their time.
Yes,
exactly.
And to actually address your question for the future, I think we're going to just let the apps do all the work for us and just like compare people's browsers history and cookies. Hey, you guys are nearby and compatible. You should just say hi and let things happen.
Swipe left to meet, swipe right to just go ahead and process the divorce settlement as I predict where this relationship's going to go. Hey, you made out in this one. Nice.
Yeah, well, I mean, unless there's someone out there that's into cheeseburgers and midget porn, I don't know if I'll ever meet anyone on one of those apps.
There's probably like 1,000 people into that in your area, though. So,
are those your default profile settings?
No, I mean, if anyone ever, yeah, I need one of you guys to be my like, you know, if I ever die, like, come back to my house and clear my browser history.
Your fail safe.
Yeah. We all need to like make like a fail safe pact.
That's like the modern day key holder.
Yeah, actually, there's money to be made there, and I hate to give this yet another $1 billion idea away, but we need a dead man switch device that just wipes everything. So should you pass, yeah, Nobody sees the filth you leave behind.
My poor mom.
Exactly.
We just die all over again.
I'd sure like to know what my son's last few thoughts were. Let me log into his computer. Oh my god.
Yeah, as she has a heart attack.
All right, there you heard of it. Dead Man Switch cleanup coming soon from Ganza Industries.
Yes, copyright patent pending.
Not only does it erase everything, it leaves like a trail of like admirable stuff. Like, oh, look at all the charities he was giving to and all the things that he was doing on making a difference.
All those Linden bucks finally going to a good use.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right, we have our moneymaker, so let's run with that. And then after that, we'll do a dating app. Speaking of moneymakers, I think this episode is definitely one. Do you guys have anything else you want to discuss before we send our hopeless romantic audience off into the broader world to hopelessly be romantic?
I think it's money in the bank.
Agreed. Okay, with all that said, I will say that we would love, absolutely love, if you would subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or whatever other podcatching software you happen to use, and or check us out on the popular streaming service known as Stitcher.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, add us to your Google Plus circle, and if you really want that extra bit of Ganza gooiness, join the Nerdstravaganza HQ on Facebook.
In between your Tinder usage and midget porn, hop on over to nerdstravaganza.com and check out all of our back episodes and premium content. Also check us out on YouTube, where we do not have any racy videos, but you can find all of our video game, board game, and movie reviews. And if you don't have a rose to give, give us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
And until next time,
are you a girl?
That was awesome.
So I'm getting the talking stick now, right?
Yes.
All right. I hold this talking stick well as I start my...
Does anyone else find this, like, insensitive towards Native Americans?
You have you have the conch.
Let me rewind. Let's just avoid that whole thing. Rewind.
I find that offensive towards, like, privileged World War II era British boarding school kids. So.
Did we lose Brian?
No, I was muted like an asshole.
Okay.
Some online evening, you will meet a stranger.